Welcome to the Ether. Today is Monday, May 23rd, 2022. Today on the Ether, NFTs on optimism with Web3 Mark, co-founder of Chaotic.io, hosted by Wrecked Wolf. Let's take a listen.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us. I'll just tweet this out and we'll get started in a minute or two. All right. Sounds good. We also have Finn with us, which is really cool. He's, our professional sound mixer and records all the Terra spaces and compiles them and super helpful. And so this is going to be recorded. So if ever anyone wants to be listening in at a later time, the recording will be available. I hope that's okay with you, Mark.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Okay, very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, I guess without further ado, we'll, let people join in as they come. And we're going to get started with the spaces. So thank you again, Mark, for making the time. Super excited to have you here. I love optimism. I've been, a user, I think, from the start. I haven't been using it recently, but I was there when it launched. And it was, the first layer two on Ethereum. So very exciting technology. And I'm looking really forward to our chat here. So thanks again for making that time. I'll just introduce myself quickly. I'm a Berserker co-founder of Wrecked Wolf, which is a Terra NFT project. As many of you here are familiar on the spaces, and I guess the ones that will be listening to the recording, Terra NFTs, had a recent, are dependent on the Terra network. And we know what happened with the Luna coin and the UST DPEG, which kind of forced the hand of some NFT projects to move to another chain. There are a lot of different options for these Terra NFTs. The community is still there. The engagement is still there. And people, kind of want to be informed in their next decision. So it's not an easy decision to kind of decide to move your collection from one blockchain to another. I don't think there's a precedent there, or maybe there was a few precedents, but not to this scale. Some have decided to wait and see what happens with Terra 2.0, and others have decided to move on. And we have the full spectrum here. So some have decided to move to Ethereum, Solana. We also heard Algorand. Some are looking into AVAX, Near. And this is, I think, the first time we're going to be talking about optimism, which, again, like I said, I'm really excited about. So thank you again for making this time. I'll let Bessa introduce himself, and then maybe you can introduce yourself, Mark.
Hey, everyone. So I'm Bessa Rob, and the other co-founder of Wrecked Wolf. And as Berserker was saying, basically, Wrecked Wolf, yes, it's a Terra project, and especially it's with the focus on a multi-chain. That means basically that our goal is to expand on multiple chains, and one of the main goals in Wrecked Wolf is also to provide as much as possible knowledge to the whole community, and also to make aware everyone about the possibilities across different chains and not focus on one chain. And I'm really, really excited to have this Twitter space today with Optimist, because we'll give a bit more information, more knowledge about this this layer two on Ethereum.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. I'll jump into my intro if that works with you guys. Hey, everyone. My name is Mark. I am the co-founder of the NFT marketplace on Optimism called Quixotic. But I actually got my start just like being a part of like layer one Ethereum communities and doing layer one NFT projects. So I started an NFT company in April 2021, and we made like an NFT calendar. We made NFT postcards, so you could make, you could customize these little postcards and mint them. And eventually we got kind of wrecked by gas fees on layer one Ethereum. So we started looking around for somewhere where we could build without, you know, these crazy gas fees. And I looked at Polygon and Solana and Tezos and ended up picking Optimism. And we launched our marketplace in December 2021, just a few days after the whitelist was removed for the Optimism network. And we've been focused entirely on growing that marketplace and the Optimism NFT ecosystem ever since.
Thanks. Very cool. And just, you know, I love that the name is called Optimism, right? I think we're all looking for it. It's an easy, easy joke to make, I guess. Maybe not that great, but anyways. So for us on Terra, we're not too familiar, or maybe I'm speaking for most of the community, and I'm familiar, but I know that most of the community is not too familiar with the layer two Optimism. So could you just explain, I think you already touched upon the gas fees, but could you just explain quickly in a very, I guess, easy to understand version on what is Optimism?
Yeah, for sure. And I think probably that starts with what is a layer two at all. So when I was looking at like a chain that's not Ethereum to build on, I began by looking at basically Polygon and Solana and Tezos, and those are all networks that run their own consensus mechanism. And so they have like a group of nodes that are all validating transactions, and they all have their own security model. They're also all like cheaper and for the most part faster than Ethereum. Layer twos are very different than those networks like Polygon, Solana, and Tezos because they're not a large network of computers. They're really just a service that, like they run a sequencer basically, and they take transactions, compress them, and then they submit them to L1 Ethereum. When they compress them, that's called, they like roll them up. So they're called rollups a lot of the time. And so these protocols all, they look and feel like their own chain, but they're actually inheriting the security of Ethereum. So that's pretty cool. Optimism, the token that you use to pay gas in, is Ethereum. It's Ether. And you use like a MetaMask and you use Etherscan. So if you're familiar with the Ethereum ecosystem, it feels a lot like Ethereum, but it's, you know, usually about 100 times cheaper, and you get a confirmation within about 1 second. So it's like a lot faster and a lot cheaper. Another interesting thing about Optimism is they have a really interesting governance model. So instead of like being a completely private company, they have like a foundation, and anyone from the community can become a delegate, similar to ENS. If anyone participated in the ENS, which is like the Ethereum name service airdrop, they have a delegate system. So Optimism is similar to that. In terms of like overall landscape, in terms of for layer twos, the biggest layer twos are Arbitrum and Optimism. And the markets have been rough lately, but both have, Optimism has about $500 million in the like TVL of the chain, and Arbitrum has like $2.5 billion. It's really early for both of them. Another thing that people might find interesting is that Optimism is launching a token very soon, their own token. So they've waited on the token for almost a year. But that's coming in the next couple weeks. So that's kind of an overview of layer twos and Optimism. Yeah, so I'll pause there.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, the follow up on that question, why is it important to have the Ethereum consensus mechanism in the back end, I guess, and why one would pick a layer two instead of something like Tezos or Solana or any other layer one. Could you just kind of talk about the benefits on using a layer two instead of going to another L1?
For sure. Yeah, I break the benefits into security and usability, probably. So in terms of usability, it feels a lot like Ethereum. And a lot of people in crypto are coming from Ethereum. Once again, the native coin is ETH. And you're using MetaMask. I know, like with Solana or Tezos, you have to get your own separate wallet set up. Your address is the same as your ETH address. So if you have like a MetaMask wallet, for example, you already have like an address on Optimism. In terms of security, right. So my take, at the risk of sounding like an ETH maxi, is probably I'd say ETH is like the second most decentralized and secure layer one after Bitcoin. I don't know if that's controversial, but yeah, I'd rank it like Bitcoin, ETH, and then a tie after that for a bunch of others. And so I think the idea is basically let's do security at the layer one level. So like Ethereum's really optimized for security and decentralization, and let's do execution at the layer two level. So by separating those concerns, you kind of get the best of both worlds, where it's like very secure, but you're also able to get those really cheap fees. So a trade on Quixotic, which is the NFT marketplace on Optimism, is about 20 cents right now. That's still more expensive than Polygon because you are paying to submit the transaction to Ethereum, but it's much cheaper than Ethereum itself. And it's even cheaper, I think, than like Avalanche. I'd say in summary, like the reason why you want a layer two is really for the security and the usability, as it's like very similar to Ethereum. And the thing about security is you don't think about it until you really need it. And then you don't care about it until you really need it.
I mean, we know about that, right? It wasn't a security issue on Terra, but yeah, you don't really care about, on which chain you are until that chain is compromised. And then it's a whole mess. So basically what you're saying is that you're gaining security or the same security or similar security as Ethereum, which I guess I would also agree is probably the second most decentralized network. And on top of that, well, you have the benefit of cheaper fees, which is great. Also, I guess, could you comment two questions on this? I think you mentioned Polygon, and we always see Polygon mentioned as being a layer two, and kind of explain the nuance of that. And second, there's always that bridge, right, that you have to go through from Ethereum to Optimism. And could that be a weak link? We've seen Wormhole being compromised, it wasn't on the Terra side, it was more on the Solana side. But still, is there something like that as a security risk if we're kind of talking about security? Sorry, those are like two questions, but if you can speak on
that. Yeah, for sure. I'll start off with the Polygon question. Polygon is interesting because Polygon is like a company that has a lot of projects. So there's like Polygon Hermes, which is a layer two. And then there's like the Polygon proof of stake chain, which sometimes they call sidechain. And I think at the end of the day is like, are you submitting all the transactions to Ethereum? And for a layer two, like if you're submitting all your transactions to Ethereum, then I'd call it a layer two. And if you're not, if you're running your own consensus mechanism, then it's a layer one, basically is how I'd put that. Another way to think about it is if there is a complete failure of your network, what happens? So if Optimism completely dies, there's like an escape hatch on L1 Ethereum where you can get your money out. So like if Optimism more successfully attacked, your funds are safe, but you know, transactions are, can no longer go through, for example. And like new transactions might be intercepted. And that's kind of a quality of a layer two chain, is that, you know, funds are safe, but if there's an attack, then activity is paused. On a layer one chain, funds are not safe. If the layer one chain is compromised, then you're like have a lot of like really serious security concerns. So that would be kind of the difference between like a layer one, layer two, and Polygon. Like what most people think of as Polygon is not sending its transactions to Ethereum, and therefore it's not a layer two. Now they might eventually move it to become a layer two. They're investing a lot in that technology, so I'm really excited to see that. L2 Beat is like one of the best places to look to see info about layer twos. I wonder if I could even like tweet that and like pin it or something. But yeah, L2 Beat is a great place to read about layer twos. And then the second question you had was
around the bridges.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So huge topic, right? Like the Axie Infinity bridge to their chain Ronin got hacked for like $600 million recently. Wormhole, and then there's like the list keeps going on. Yes, so there are bridges between Ethereum and Optimism, and those are probably like the points where you would like have the most surface area for attacks. Optimism has a $2 million bug bounty that they've paid out. So a couple interesting things about Optimism is it's totally open source, and it's already been forked to create two other layer two protocols. So there's a protocol called Boba and Metis. Those are both forks of Optimism. So it's open source, which I think makes it more secure because more people are looking at it and trying to attack it. The other great thing about Optimism is they have a bug bounty system. So it's $2 million if you're a white hat hacker and find a bug. And they've already paid out the bounty. It was not like that you could steal funds, but it was like a critical vulnerability in their bridging mechanism. And they paid out the $2 million bug bounty. And that's still live and ongoing. So that's the approach to security on the Optimism side, is just like generous bug bounties and open source code. That's how they're approaching security today.
So my question is, I think you mentioned this earlier, but if ever there's a bridge hack, right, or something of that kind, your funds will be safe as it all gets kind of verified on Ethereum eventually, but someone could steal a lot of money. Is that kind of could you describe to me kind of the worst case scenario of ever Optimism gets hacked? We're used to worst case scenarios now, so.
Yeah, for sure. So the way that ETH on Optimism works is there's basically like an escrow contract on layer one. So when you bridge ETH to Optimism, you're basically locking your layer one ETH in a smart contract and minting, you know, one ETH on Optimism. And then when you bridge back, you are burning your ETH on Optimism and unescrowing it from that smart contract on layer one and sending it to your address. So a bridge attack on Optimism would probably be the worst attack. And in a worst case, they could take like funds. And then they like, if someone were able to hack the layer one bridge and take the funds, like the wormhole hack, then the ETH on Optimism would not be backed by a layer one ETH. So that would be very bad. In that situation, it's hard to know if users would end up footing the bill for that, but they could. So that would be like a smart contract bug in the escrow contract on layer one that would cause that. Now, let's say so what's interesting about the like sequencer for Optimism is if that were to go down or be attacked, that would not like cause any funds to be compromised. So really just that escrow contract is the only place where funds would be compromised. And that code does not change not change very much at all. But that is the biggest area for, like, that'd be the most critical vulnerability. In terms of day-to-day operations, like the network going down would not cause any user funds to get compromised. There's not a consensus protocol. Like, there's no consensus mechanism. Instead, you submit proofs, like called fault proofs, to say, like, here's what happened. And if this is getting a little bit technical, but if for some reason the Optimism network is submitting, you know, not correct, like, compressions of all the transactions, like if they're not rolling up the transactions and submitting them correctly, then any validator who's, like, watching could ask to replay it on L1 Ethereum. So they just, like, re-execute the smart contract in L1 Ethereum and then prove that the results are the same. That's why it's called Optimism, actually, is because the idea is, if you have, like, most of the time you don't need the entire decentralized network that is Ethereum to run your smart contract. But if someone questions you or someone says, I think that's wrong, then you can rerun it. So you're sort of optimistically saying, like, we think we're doing all the compute correctly, but if someone, you know, says, no, you're not doing correctly, then they'll rerun it on, like, the Ethereum network to prove that they produced the correct result. So hopefully that wasn't too in the weeds for you there.
No, thank you. Thank you for the detailed explanation. Bess, you had a question?
So basically, and for this reason, there is this almost like 1 week of withdrawal, correct? So in which you have to wait enough time in order to be sure that this optimist mechanism basically works, and then you can withdraw the funds, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And I'll say something about that 1 week window, which is that's at the protocol level, and that's for disputes. So if you think they didn't compress the transactions correctly, you can dispute that, and it'll rerun the transactions on layer one Ethereum at the protocol level. For a lot of apps these days, our users, like, I have not waited. Like, I've been using Optimism for, like, the past 6 months, and I haven't waited that 7-day period at all to get my funds back. Because there's things like Hop Exchange, and these days there's, like, 6 or 7 different bridges that will basically, you know, they have basically a liquidity pool on L1 and L2. And so you send your funds back to L1, and then, you know, they'll wait the 7 days, but they'll release the money on L1 immediately. So Hop Exchange is a good example of this, where if you have, let's say, 5 ETH, you can just send that to your L1 wallet on Hop, and then you get it within, like, 10 minutes. And Hop also had an airdrop recently. So if you're into hopping between chains, and you can use Hop between, like, Arbitrum and Optimism. And now even, like, Binance supports withdrawals directly to Optimism, so, and also deposits from Optimism. So you can deposit your L1 ETH into, like, Binance, for example, and then swap it there for L1 Ethereum. So I'm not seeing a lot of people actually wait the 7 days in practice, but that is at the protocol level how it works. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks a lot, really. In order to not get probably too much technical, what if we start talking about the NFTs on Optimist, how the story started, which are the marketplaces or the collections, and how is different the NFT landscape versus the other layer twos, and to talk more, you know, about the community, just an overview.
Yeah, I think the ecosystem is the most exciting part. And I think it's really interesting because I'm seeing layer twos in general develop a lot stronger cultures around their NFT ecosystems. So there's definitely a notion of, like, Arbitrum culture and Optimism culture in a way that I haven't seen as much on Polygon. Like, what is Polygon NFT culture? You know, for me, it's a little hard to say. The overview, so Arbitrum and Optimism are the two main layer twos that people are trading NFTs on today. In the Arbitrum ecosystem, we're seeing Treasure DAO. This group is one of the biggest players, and they are creating a lot of great projects for NFT gaming and basically like NFT gaming. And they also do a lot of free mints, so that's like pretty fun. And it feels more free on layer twos because minting is usually about like 50 cents instead of, I've like participated in free mints on layer one, but it was still like $50 or something to mint the NFT. On the optimism side, so Quixotic is the optimism native NFT marketplace. We're the first marketplace and the biggest. So probably 90-95% of the trades happening on optimism are happening on the Quixotic marketplace. You can also trade on Tofu NFT, which is a big multi-chain marketplace that also has support for maybe a dozen other chains. On the optimism side, we're seeing Dope Wars was like the first big like play to earn game that came to optimism, and they came very early. And we're also seeing more games. There's a game called Dragonia that's coming. There's Crypto Testers is like a large NFT community that just did their membership cards. We're seeing a lot of people interested in issuing membership cards and community, like for pre-existing communities on layer twos, because it's so much cheaper to do that than layer one. My profile picture is from a project called Cryptovania, which is like a storytelling group where it's like kind of like medieval storytelling. I'd say on optimism, there's a big culture of it's like still quite small compared to layer one. So there's only, you know, we've only done like $1.5 million in trading on Quixotic, which is like very small compared to other layer ones. And therefore it's like much more closely knit. So like a lot of people in the OptiPunks community, I see a few here in the audience, Arbitrum Alex and Dre, you know, they'll know each other, know other people in the Optimistic Bunnies community or in the Dope Wars community. So yeah, it's like tight knit with a focus on like community membership and gaming, I'd say, is what it is today. But we do see PFP projects as well.
Very cool. It reminds me a little bit of you know, of Terra, where we do have that tight knit community. And I saw a recent statistic. I don't know how it was calculated or analyzed, but I think it was something about 10,000 people trade NFTs on Quixotic. Is that correct?
Yeah, and it's growing very quickly because of this optimism token. So yeah, as of, you know, right now we have over 10,000 unique addresses that have traded on Quixotic. So it's small, but yeah, a lot of fun. We had a free mint recently called Ganland, which was like AI generated art. And that was really fun because it was free for people who are using Quixotic. And then the community really liked it a lot, and the floor price quickly like rose to like 0.1, which was kind of crazy for a free mint, in my opinion. So it was really fun to see people just take these like fun experiments and really run with them. And one interesting thing about the optimism model as well is that they plan multiple user airdrops. So they've allocated 19% of their token supply for user airdrops. So if you actually, if you're a user of other like layer ones like Terra, Phantom, Avalanche, I would like go to the Optimism governance website and check to see if you're eligible for the airdrop, because you might be for OP token. But they're also going to keep doing airdrops for users over the next 12 months or maybe more. So there's still tons of opportunity to be a part of the like airdrops. And then with the airdrops, you can delegate your tokens to delegates. And then those delegates will decide where the rest of the funds for the ecosystem go. So Quixotic is going to apply to be a delegate to sort of advocate for grants going to NFT projects. So, you know, those are like maybe a little bit smaller than DeFi. You know, there's a couple big DeFi projects on Optimism, like Synthetics is one of the biggest DeFi protocols that's Optimism native. And so, yeah, we're trying to grow the NFT ecosystem. Yeah, if users are interested in joining Optimism, like there's still a good chance you'll get it. I don't want to promise anything, right? Obviously, no one knows what's going to happen. But if you're like actively contributing in Optimism, there's definitely upside for you. So that's why I think it's a really fun time to build. In a time, it's kind of funny, actually, someone was saying to me the other day, like, oh, you know, it must be like kind of a bummer for you, given that like crypto markets are down so much. And I'm like, actually, it's like never been a better time to be voting on Optimism because of this token drop and overall, like all the technology is coming into place. So it's only been in the last like six months that a lot of layer twos have come online and started to get traction. So we have this idea that it's going to be like layer two summer. We'll see, you know, like, I try to stay optimistic, I guess. Like, I think there will still be thriving NFT communities, you know, regardless of the price of ETH. And so we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, we love free airdrops. So I think I'll check that website to see if I got something as a user. So you're saying, you know, a lot of people, a lot of excitement coming in because of this token that's coming up. I do want to bring, you know, I think I was very excited about layer twos as well, but I know there's Arbitrum as well that's live, and I'm wondering what the relationship there between Optimism and Arbitrum is in terms of, you know, is there any friendly competition or it's, you know, all the same family? And in terms of competition, again, I'm asking two questions at the same time. On Ethereum, we all know the leading marketplace is OpenSea. And I'm wondering if there was any talks with Arbitrum and OpenSea or Optimism and OpenSea, and how do you see the future for Quixotic, considering that most Ethereum natives are kind of familiar with that platform?
Yeah, for sure. I'll start by talking about Arbitrum a little bit. I think it's all kind of relative. So within the layer two space, there's definitely a lot of friendly competition because they're sort of very similar networks. They have like the same security properties or very similar security properties and architectures. Like they're both optimistic rollups is like the name of the architecture they've chosen. So like when it's like, which is the best optimistic rollup? There's like tons of competition, but then when someone is like, oh, you know, Solana NFTs are like the best, like then it's like complete, like, you know, Arbitrum and Optimism are friends because it's like, they're trying to grow the layer two space. And then it's funny cause I'm sort of like, oh yeah, I don't really do much with the Solana NFT ecosystem. But then when someone like completely outside of crypto says like all NFTs are scams, look at this scammy Solana NFT ecosystem. I'm like, no, actually NFTs are awesome. And like, we love Solana. So I think it just depends on within the layer two space, they're competitors, but within the broader like scaling space, I think they're both trying to grow the layer two space as opposed to like the alt layer one space. And so we'll see how that plays out. I'm very excited to see. In terms of OpenSea, this is sort of our, I think every startup is always worried about someone asking like, what if Google did this? But our version of that is like, what if OpenSea adds Optimism? Our answer there is that we're really focused on layer two native experiences. And we plan to embrace those really fully, especially things that are like beyond just speculative trading. So a lot of people are using Optimism NFTs for membership cards or even POAPs, like little badges to, you know, say you attend an event, or maybe there's like Rabbit Hole GG and Layer3.xyz, which are both bounties for trying different crypto protocols, and you get a little badge, or like the goal would be to put an on-chain badge. And what we see is with layer twos, because the fees are cheaper, you can put a lot more on chain that you weren't going to put before. So one analogy I like to use is cars and airplanes both are forms of transportation. But when you have the option of taking an airplane, you're not taking the same trips that you were taking before, but faster. You're taking like completely different trips that didn't make sense before. And I think that's the case with layer twos as well. So it's cheaper, but also you're like minting NFTs and you're doing things on chain that didn't make sense when it was on layer one. I think we see OpenSea pursuing like a chain agnostic multi-chain approach, which is for trading. And our approach is to sort of like embrace all the things that make layer two special. So like giving you a home for like badges, making it really easy to issue like these badges for different things, and surfacing all the cool new stuff happening on chain on Optimism. We're also focused on bridging. So like if you have a collection that's bridged across two chains, normally OpenSea would display it in a fragmented way. So it'd show it as two completely different collections. We're going to keep that unified. So if you have bridged 100 NFTs out of your 10,000 collection, you'll see all 10,000 in our UI, and some will appear on Optimism and some will appear on Ethereum. So we're really pursuing that like L2 native approach for our dApp, whereas like OpenSea is not. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I think we will see more differentiation, and it will be harder to have a completely multi-chain approach while serving the every community the best. And I'm happy to take this conversation anywhere you guys want to go, but I'm actually curious what you all in the Terra NFT community are looking for in chains, and how you decided on Terra, and how you guys have been like dealing with everything over the past 3 or 4 weeks. I my heart goes out to everyone in the Terra community, because I was so surprised. It was like shocking. I feel for everyone out there.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it was, you know, completely unexpected. And I'll speak for myself and maybe a few others, but we joined the Terra ecosystem for a few reasons, but one of the biggest ones was the decentralized money, right? So the UST was kind of this stable coin that was decentralized. And at the time we thought immutable or censorship free, basically money for the people that they can use how they want, but that all crumbled down. So a lot of us lost kind of that purpose of decentralized money. So it's been very hard. And on top of, you know, anyone who was staking Luna, that just went to zero. And for those that couldn't get out on time, just lost their life savings. I know a lot of community folk on Terra really, really believed in Terra. So most of their portfolio was in Terra. So it's just been, yeah, like you say, like it was shocking and unexpected, and people are still kind of trying to find their footing. Some projects, to come back to the Terra NFT community, I think they kind of survived a little better than some of the protocols, because the community is still there, right? And it's a smaller scale mini community. So there's always ways of moving that community or at least kind of supporting each other. I guess, you know, we at least had our JPEGs and we couldn't get liquidated because they're illiquid. So we at least had that to kind of gather around, and the community was super, super supportive. And in terms of decisions on which chains to move, like I said, some larger communities are more difficult to move. Smaller ones that had like a purpose and that was maybe different than decentralized money, they found their niche, right? So one good example is have this project that's focusing a lot on the environment, protecting the wilderness or the wildlife. And that project decided to move to Algorand because it's a carbon negative blockchain. So that kind of makes sense for them. And they've been welcomed by the Algorand Foundation. So it really depends on the project, you know. So for us at Wrecked Wolf, our big focus, our big mission was to share education and kind of, you know, share analytics and all these nuggets of information that could be helpful in order to prevent people from getting wrecked. That was kind of our mission, is to prevent people from getting wrecked, because crypto is very brutal. It can be wonderful, but it can also be very brutal. And ultimately, we kind of failed at that mission because we did get wrecked on Terra. Now we're kind of also considering something that's a little more future-proof. We had the folks from Layer Zero doing a Twitter Spaces last week and kind of talking to us about how Layer Zero, you can always have that option of moving from chain to chain in the future with that technology. So that is something that we strongly consider. And I think you even have some NFTs on Layer, you know, Layer Zero compatible on Optimism and a few mints there on, I saw on the marketplace in Quixotic, there was some there too. But I'll let Bess speak as well here.
Yeah, so, and also the NFT, the Terra NFT story is quite also different because only the first collection started to appear in beginning of October, so we were quite new. And, you know, the whole ecosystem in terms of also the community was already there because everyone was landed on Terra through DeFi. And that is quite curious because everyone came, not everyone, but mainly the most part of the people, they came to the NFTs on Terra through the DeFi, because in the end Terra has and had the best, probably the most easy and most user-friendly interface for the DeFi, and it was quite easy to use it and to understand it. And it was a really, really an onboarding for the whole crypto ecosystem. And from there, basically now, it was only from January, February that we saw really, really a whole NFT community appearing around new projects and around different type of NFTs. So it was really evolving quite fast in the last 2 months. And so we went from literally having like 10 or 15 collections in the beginning of December to now in April, May, having more than 70 plus collections. So with a market cap total of 150 million for the NFTs. So it was really growing quite fast, and the community was quite excited about it. And what was interesting also that, lately, with the latest projects, a lot of people join for the first time the NFT space only from Terra. So that means that their first experience was also Terra. And now that the Terra is in this situation, we have a lot of projects, a lot of people from the community that are quite uncertain about how to proceed or where to go, because literally their first wallet and their only NFTs were on Terra. And that is something now that is changing quite fast. We can see how everyone now looks or on Solana or on EA or on the other chains. And it is, as Berserk was saying, it's not that that the people are searching for something particular for a chain. It's more about the necessity of the different projects, because every project has a different roadmap and also different short-term and mid-term goals. And also based on those goals, they need to move on a different chain. So someone has more the security part, someone more wants more the volume and the big community. Someone actually needs to move, for example, on Polygon because they're already present such type of projects like theirs on other chains. So it's literally everyone is trying to adapt in this situation as best as possible to the necessities of their project.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I imagine it's a lot of uncertainty. One thing I will say about the Layer Zero team is we have worked with a lot of Layer Zero NFTs and we like those a lot. There's kind of a trend of Omni NFTs. I don't know if you guys saw the Ghostly Ghost or the Omni Dinosaurs or Omni Trolls. There's a bunch of them and those go between different chains, and we've seen those come through on Quixotic as well. People like to trade those, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, actually, I own a ghost. But I have to use the bridge to see.
He bought the top, though.
No, no.
Small detail, by the way.
Yeah. It's also funny. Have you guys heard of a group called Crypto Testers? They're also sort of, their whole thing is like whenever someone has a new protocol, they're like a community that goes and like tests it out. And as a result, they tend to get a lot of airdrops. But that sounds a little similar to me as maybe like the education component for Wrecked Wolf. Have you guys heard of them?
No, it's the first time. So for us, you know, it's, I guess it isn't that early of a stage, right? We want it to be kind of, how do I say this? Easy to understand. It's less that this just launched and let's test it out. It's more of this has been there for 6 months. Let's figure out what the best approach is and try to have these resources that are very manageable. Trying to onboard more brackets normies. I don't know if I can use that term, but that's more of the that's how this education piece works. And to be completely transparent, most of our community members, I'm not going to go with most of, but a lot of them are new to Ethereum or EVM, right? They onboarded on Terra. So resources on how MetaMask works, how, you know, gas works, and so on and so forth. These are like basics, but there needs to be something, you know, there needs to be an educational component so people don't get scammed or don't, you know, kind of miss their transaction and waste a lot of money on gas and so on.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't realize that Terra was not EVM until just now when I was looking it up. So I bet.
Yeah, but this is great. This leads me into the next question. I think this is one of the more important questions is how do you see, this bridge process from a Cosmo, Wasm, or Rust-based chain like Terra to an EVM layer two like Optimism? And is there, maybe I'm putting you on the spot here, but are there like any benefits now of you know, a Terra project moving to Quixotic? Some protocols offered certain incentives and so on, or help, dev help. Is that something that y'all offer today or right now, or what kind of help can we expect for Quixotic?
Yes, certainly. So in terms of dev help, that is our specialty, basically. I'm a developer, my co-founder is a developer. We're a small team, but more of us are developers than not. And we're also very happy. Me and my co-founder are also like the people, along with, I see Dre is also in the audience. He's in our team. We're answering support tickets, all the time. So no one's above, getting in the weeds of the technical details, over at Quixotic. And so there's a couple ways to bridge a project that is well, from one chain to the other. There's sort of like a technical piece, and then there's like a social consensus piece. So, and I think both are important. So for example, if I had a collection on Terra, what I would do is try to, and say I want to move to Optimism. I would find out what wallet addresses on Terra owned which NFTs, and then make a UI so you can link your Terra wallet address to like a EVM or Ethereum wallet address. And then I would allow the holder of the Terra NFT to mint it on Optimism, or whatever EVM chain you're on. And then that would be the technical side. And then on the social side, I would, and you could like ask, you could maybe freeze the Terra NFT if that's necessary, so you don't have two versions of the NFT floating around. But then on the social community side, I would just get social consensus within my community that like, hey, we're deciding to move over here. And if there's enough buy-in, then, you know, it can be really successful. In terms of like grant, so, and in terms of other like dev help, we have a Launchpad product. So people can, do no code smart contract deploys for their collections. It's a group called Layer 2 DAO that wanted to give membership cards to everyone who had used any Layer 2. And they minted, you know, I think 7,000 membership NFTs through our Launchpad. So they didn't have to know how to code. They just went through our UI and deployed their smart contracts. And our smart contracts are self-custodial, so they're not like OpenSea. You truly own them. We just help you deploy the smart contract. In terms of the incentive side, we are working with like the Optimism Network directly, the Optimism community and foundation on better incentives for NFT projects. So we can definitely help to get you some allocation of OP token to incentivize projects to move over. And we also have certain rewards. A reward, like the token hasn't launched yet. It's like launching literally, you know, any day now. But as soon as we get clarity on that, we have a couple proposals for rewards for NFT communities launching on Optimism. So you're sort of catching the Optimism community in particular at like the exact right moment as we're like kickstarting a lot of incentives for new projects on Optimism.
Okay, that's very cool. So basically you're saying y'all offer a Launchpad service and I guess, you know, there's no shortage of devs in your team, to assist with, the migration or the remint, for whatever the project, decides to do. Also, I guess, you know, you did say that the community is very tight knit. So I'm wondering if there's any need for, I like how you talked about the social aspect here. If there's any need to kind of have social introductions with these Optimism-based projects through Quixotic, is that something you offer? It's marketing and some sort of facilitation in terms of, you know, getting people at the right door, because these are all, you know, folk coming from a completely different blockchain and are going to be exposed for the first time to the ecosystem. So is there some sort of, I guess, introduction that can be done for you guys or marketing for you guys? Is that something you all offer?
Yeah, for sure. We're very active on Twitter. So the Quixotic Twitter account is probably the main way we would shout out and give, like support to communities. We also have a very active Discord, and we're happy to like facilitate like introductions and get people like integrated in the community via our Discord. Mostly our community building is through Twitter, Discord, Twitter Spaces. We'd be happy to host like a town hall or something to announce and explain, you know, why and like everyone should be excited about like a new project coming to Optimism or coming to Quixotic.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, thank you for that. I'm going to open the floor for, you know, the audience if they have questions, if that's okay with you. And Bess, if you have a question, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm totally happy to answer questions on my side.
One question about actually the layer zero, the project that that had also the layer zero integration inside. Are there many projects, for example, so the Ghost, are they also trading on Optimism, you said, right? Is there any other project that also landed on the Quixotic or?
Yeah, for layer zero?
Yeah, so the ones that integrate the layer zero, so the ones that are bridging to Optimism with the layer zero.
Yeah, so we index all NFTs on the Optimism network for Quixotic. And so we'll index a lot of these layer zero, like omnichain NFTs is kind of the name that a lot of people use. We find, funnily enough, that like Ghostly Ghost was the first omnichain NFT. A lot of trading happens on L1 Ethereum, which is sort of like one of the worst places to trade because you're paying really high gas fees. And in theory, it's the same thing. Like you could be trading the same thing on Optimism for much lower gas fees. So that's sort of funny. But yeah, we do index these NFTs and we see them. Omni Trolls launched this past weekend. Are you guys okay with like pinning tweets? I could pin the Omni Trolls tweet if you guys are interested in checking that out.
Yep. Do it, please.
Great. I will pin. Cool. So this is the Omni Trolls group, and they're on, you know, seven chains, and they were trading a little bit on Quixotic. I think, I don't know which chain was most popular for them, but they were trading on Optimism and a few other chains as well, including Arbitrum.
Oh, this one's really cool. It's the one that you have to bridge through all the chains and then they kind of evolve, right?
Yeah. Also, I mean, one cool thing about the layer two space is because everything's cheaper. Like the dynamic NFTs are more of a thing. So people will have like NFTs that you can equip items to and that evolve and stuff like that.
So as a member of, you know, or a co-founder of Quixotic, do y'all ask for whitelists for these new projects? We kind of have an issue with cousins on Terra. I don't know.
We don't. What? No. you can trade your NFTs on Quixotic and we'll shill it. And you can approach the marketing and whitelist process however you like.
Okay, thanks. It's a long story. you don't want to know the ins and outs. All right, so we had Nader here who had a question. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, I just wanted to say, first off, like Quixotic Stratus, like I think it's a really great UX. Like buttery smooth, you know, I know that's one part layer two, but definitely one part you guys. So just want to say that off right at the bat. Like I think it's super clean, super nice. My question to you is, so you guys have Quixotic, you guys have Stratus. It seems that you guys are very embedded into the layer two ecosystem. What made you decide to want to build on layer twos rather than an alternative layer one?
Yeah, for sure. And there, back in, I guess, October, we were searching for our own. We ran a music community and we're still part of a music community called Music Fund, where we give grants to artists. And that was on layer one Ethereum. And it was supposed to be about bringing people together around like music and NFTs. And we ended up spending like $10,000 on gas fees, which is not even that bad compared to some people. So I looked at Polygon and Solana and Tezos and basically found that for NFTs, people really care about the legitimacy and culture of the chains they're building on. And when I talked to some like artists and NFT creators, they'd say like, I want my NFT to be around in like 100 years. I'm like, okay, well, that's a long time. I don't know. Maybe you should use Ethereum. But I think it was really like my conviction that Ethereum is probably going to be around in 100 years. And the plan to scale Ethereum is to use layer two networks. So I think one piece of misunderstanding out there is that like the merge, aka the move from proof of work to proof of stake in Ethereum that's supposed to happen this year is going to really lower gas fees. Most likely it's not going to lower gas fees. So the plan to scale Ethereum, they're going to do some things to scale it, like sharding. But really, the main plan is to move the execution layer, like where people are transacting, to these layer two systems. And if you go to the Ethereum Foundation website, they're very upfront about this, that the plan is layer two networks. And so I waited for a while. I was like, when's OpenSea going to add layer twos? When is the tooling going to get here? And then I was like, well, I became a developer to, you know, build cool stuff. And if other people aren't building it, then, you know, let's do it ourselves. And so I think the idea that, like, let's put way more stuff on chain, and like, I think the Ethereum ecosystem is awesome. And I think layer twos are part of the Ethereum ecosystem is why I landed on layer twos. But I do think there's like tons of cool stuff happening over on Polygon, over on Solana, over on Tezos.
Awesome. Yeah, I appreciate that answer. One other quick question I had for you too is, I noticed that you guys kind of segment kind of the execution environment with a separate market. So Stratus for Arbitrum, Quixotic for Optimism. You know, what was kind of the decision behind kind of segmenting those based on the execution rather than having one market for different layer twos?
Yeah, I think early on, the chain is like a value add. So like for people, like people really care like what chain they're on. So like Optimism has a community, Arbitrum has a community, and we found like embracing that really let us like have it like a focused experience. So like if someone doesn't know about Optimism, we're trying harder to make it easier so that like visiting Quixotic, like you quickly get up to speed. So like if you come and there's no activity on Optimism in your wallet, but you've used Ethereum, like a pop-up will direct you to Hop Exchange and other bridging protocols or direct fiat on-ramps. And then we'll be able to show you like all the Optimism NFTs. And I think the idea is just that like these days, a lot of people are coming, like they are coming to explore layer twos, and like they're coming to check out Optimism or Arbitrum in particular. And so keeping it all on one network helps it stay like a focused experience, especially as bridging lands. Like we'll have an Optimism bridge before we have an Arbitrum bridge, just because of the speed of development of these things. So like if they're unified, it would be kind of weird that you could bridge Optimism NFTs, but not Arbitrum NFTs. So like having it focused on the communities at hand allows us to like go wherever the communities are. And they're like the exact same website today, Stratus and Quixotic. But like if Optimism went in hard on community NFTs and Arbitrum went hard on gaming NFTs, we could like evolve the marketplaces to match the communities. So I guess the answer is that the communities are a little bit separate today. So we decided to make the front ends a little bit separate. But you know, we'll see.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's like a UX thing too, where it's like the person might bridge over on Optimism, and if you show them an Arbitrum NFT and they can't buy it, they're like, "What? This? Why can't I buy this? I have layer two ETH. Like, this doesn't make sense." So no, I understand why segmenting early on makes sense. Well, I got to run, but yeah, thank you everyone for hosting and thank you for answering my questions.
Thanks, Nader.
Yeah, thank you. If there's anyone else from the audience that had a question, please feel free to raise your hand. And I guess on our end, you know, we're wondering what would be next steps for a project that wants to move to Quixotic? What would you recommend them to do? Like, should they DM you on Twitter, Discord? What would you recommend?
Yeah, the best way to get our whole team to look in one place is to open a support ticket in our Discord, because that notifies me, my co-founder, and our community. Head of community, Dre, who's in this chat. He has an Optipunk NFT. But you can always DM me on Twitter too. So DMing me on Twitter or opening a support ticket, and we're always excited about new projects. We also pride ourselves on replying very quickly to support tickets. I don't know what our average response time is, but it must be, I'd say like pretty quick, because sort of at all hours we're monitoring the Discord.
That's really great. Very cool. Bess, did you have any thoughts? I don't see any additional questions. Like I said, this will be recorded and we're kind of going to be putting those in. We have a group for all these Terra NFT projects that are looking into, you know, different options. And this will be very, very useful as a recording as well for us. So Bess, do you have any additional thoughts here?
Okay, now I was checking the chat to understand if there are still questions, and then I saw only one, and it was about the airdrop that you mentioned. So they wanted to know how to check about the airdrop. They love free.
That's the obvious one. How much, when, where?
Yeah, for sure. I can try to pin a tweet about that as well. Let me see. So it'll be app.optimism.io, but let me so I think this tweet will show you.
I think I read this one. I think it's somewhere in there, right? They're talking about the airdrop in that big thread somewhere.
Yes.
In there.
Okay, I've pinned this tweet and it says yeah, you can check eligibility there. Over 250K addresses are eligible, and you can see the criteria. So it is this tweet that I pinned from Optimism. And yeah, this is just the first airdrop. So even if you're not eligible, you could still be eligible for airdrops in the future.
So very cool. So there's a lot of exciting stuff coming to Optimism as well. And I know we're not supposed to show projects, but any you know projects minting on Quixotic that you're looking forward to in the next week that maybe our folk can kind of look into minting, not financial advice obviously, and hopefully it's not, you know, your friends. but anything, you know, we should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, so I have an NFT project that's coming.
Well, that was exactly where I didn't want it to go.
Yeah.
No, you can chill it. It's all good. I'm kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So just throwing that out there that it's mine. Yeah. So it's my profile picture. It's a storytelling community called Cryptovania. It's one of the projects minting very soon. There's also many other ones that are really exciting. So Crypto Testers just opened minting this morning. So they're a community for learning about new protocols. Dragonia is a play to earn game where you're a dragon trainer that should be coming very soon. There is a project called Apetimism, which is a 3D kind of Meebits looking ape NFT project. So all of those would be cool. We also, in general, do free mint Fridays. So if you want to dip your toes in the Optimism NFT ecosystem, but don't want to deploy a lot of capital, or you know, don't want to break the bank, check out Fridays. We're probably gonna. I don't know who we have lined up for this Friday, but last Friday we had Ganland, which was these fun AI art pieces. Maybe I'll pin them. I'd say Free Mint Fridays are actually probably one of the best places to start. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's an excellent idea. I guess I'll check out the others that you mentioned, but I think, you know, for, as you say, people to dip their toes into the ecosystem, Free Mints is one of the best ways. So thanks for sharing that nugget with us. Thank you again for, you know, taking the time and kind of going... explaining to us Optimism, how it works, and the marketplace Quixotic. I think it's very exciting, and I do hope, you know, we get L2 summer, as they say. We'll see how it all plays out, right? But should be really interesting for the crypto space as a whole. And thank you again, you know, for taking the time, and hope that we'll keep in touch and we'll try to mint some NFTs on Optimisms ourselves. Not financial advice, everyone. So thanks.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's been awesome meeting the Wrecked Wolf community. And you guys are the first Terra NFT community that I've spoken to. So yeah, thanks so much for having me, and thanks for your interest in Optimism. I always love talking about it. So Thanks.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was NFTs on Optimism with Web3 Mark, co-founder of Chaotic.io, hosted by Wrecked Wolf. Recorded on Monday, May 23rd, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you'd like to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support. Sipping on a little bit of sin I've been giving, try to keep it written down so it feels like I've been living. I've been realizing a minute reality ain't got limits, going out my fucking mind, testing out the physics, stretching out the distance. For instance, let me be specific, the risk is hedge funding the business, betting on the difference, ingesting all the research, sleeping through the rebirth, sliding out feet first, sleep tight little dreamer, early to bed, early to rise with a rugged ass demeanor, taking beats to the cleaners. You know I love my t-shirts and the people who support my little dream here. Transparent cows, I gotta steer clear. 2020 going down is one fucking weird year. Take a second look around, the psyops is winning. Set the table, we just biopsy dinner.
Now I'm gonna react to that and act like I'm telling you a personal anecdote. Something to break the tension, something to endear myself a little bit, something kind of embarrassing. And you guys are gonna make an awe sound. It's true. It really happened.
They got a tracker in the phone, tracking everywhere we go. And it's fine if I don't know, I already sold my soul. Getting ready, rock and roll, tip the first domino. Feeling up, I'm in a bowl with these avalanche flows. Stop and rest on the road, gotta get where I'm going. And the rest of y'all know that we hit the ground soaring. I'll be coming for the fuckers that be summoning the trouble. Running on the double while I'm handing out the W's. Putting wins on the board every fucking day. They love me on the team because I know my fucking place. Better get in where you fit in, I'm delivering the meaning. I inherited the demons, always sneaky, never seen them. If I'm breathing, I'm reading, I'm not even being conceited. I need to see for myself if you think that I'm believing. It's the season of reason, y'all be seizing the research. I'm receiving the meaning, that shit's called teamwork.
It's not so much as so little has to do with what everything is, but it is within our self-interest to understand the topography of our lives unto ourselves. The future states that there is no time other than the collapsation of that sensation of the mirror of the memories in which we are living. Common knowledge, but important nonetheless.
Terra Spaces.